ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ Last time we saw the two verses where Bhagwan says that these people do not come to me, do not surrender to me because of the play of the gunas, which are the gunas. There are three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, and that is called as maya. This entire world, sarvam idam jagat, this entire world means the jivas of the world, means the people of the world, are as though covered by this maya, and because of that they get deluded. The delusion happens, I told you, is because of our setting up a relationship with the gunas. If we do not do that, if we try not to do that, we will not come under their sway. And that is what is happening. And the relationship that we are setting up is of likes or dislikes. So when I like inert objects, I'm coming under the sway of tamasic maya. When I am after power and prestige, it is rajasic maya. And then after knowledge, please know that sattva also binds. Sattva can be called as a gold chain. And, you know, this rajas as a iron chain or brass, and then tamas is totally iron. But sattvic maya also binds, and that is what happened to Arjun. And so, because in sattva you are attached to your own people, and that's what binds. And actually, that is the hardest to break. It is easy that way to break tamasic or rajasic maya, but the sattvic chain, the chain of sattvic maya which binds us, becomes extremely difficult because it is our own near and dear ones that we get attached to. So Bhagwan says that it is because of this three gunas, trigunatmak maya, that the jivas are getting deluded, and because of that they don't see me, they don't come to me, they don't understand my real nature. It's as though, you know, it's covered, the nature of the Lord is covered. Okay. Then Bhagwan goes on to say, Daivi Hesha Gunamai, this maya is mine and it is very, very hard to conquer. If Bhagwan, you want us to come to you, and if it is your maya, and why are you making it that difficult to conquer? It is your maya. It's like I told you that if you want somebody to come to your house, and if you have a dog, and if you really want that person to come, then you tie your own dog. It's your dog, na? So tie it, na? So why are you telling us? That question will arise, and therefore we must understand that the divine maya, there is no problem with the divine maya. There is a problem with the maya that we create in our mind, and our maya is only in the mind. It is nowhere else with regards to the divine maya. And that's where now I'm setting up. The divine maya is there, and that is the Ishvara Srishti. This creation is by Ishvara, where everything is only good. But I say, I don't like this and I like this. And that way I set up my own, I create my own maya in my own mind. And that itself becomes extremely difficult to conquer. And that is what Bhagwan means here. Daivi Jivasya Maya. It is also Devasya or Jivasya Maya. It is not Bhagwan's maya which is difficult to conquer. It is our own maya which becomes extremely difficult to conquer. So just... if Bhagwan says, if they surrender to me, then they will tarantite, maya metam tarantite, they will cross over this maya. If the fishes, they say, if they are very close to the fisherman's feet, they don't get caught in the net because the fisherman is putting the net in there. But if they come and they just stay near the feet of the fisherman, then they will not get caught in this thing. So for us, stay at the feet of the Lord, and then you will not get caught in that maya. Okay, so that's what we had seen last time. Now Bhagwan says, even though there are, you know, people, the question, why all those who meditate upon, like there are some who think about you, yet they don't come to you. Why is that? Or there are some people who just don't come to you. So Bhagwan said, Bhagwan is now going to give two verses, which are talking about four different kinds of people each. So totally eight different kinds. So four Dushkritina and four Sukritina. So we'll see that. Verse 15. Namam Dushkritino Mudhaha Prapadyante Naradhamaha Mayaya Parahat Jnanaha Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. The evildoers, the deluded, the lowest of men, do not seek me. They whose discrimination has been destroyed by their own delusions follow the ways of the demons. Namam Dushkritino Mudaha, namam prapadyante. That is how the namam goes to prap, means prapadyante is to surrender. I told you there's prapati and there's sharan. So prapadyante. So namam prapadyante. These people do not surrender to me. Who are those? Those are dushkritinaha. Du is bad. You know, we have sukha and dukkha. That's why we have Duryodhan, Dushasan. Those names all start with du. So Kriti is action. So those who are doing bad actions, and we'll see that in a minute. This Dushkritina word also is known, called as Pamara in the scriptures. That's okay. That's a, this thing. But Dushkritina, who are these evildoers? Who are these people who are doing bad? Now, at one level, bad means papa. So there is papa and there's punya, good deeds and bad deeds. At one level, of course, there is lying, cheating, stealing, killing, etc., etc., etc. Those who are not following their own dharma, that is there. And then there, in Valmiki Ramayana, sage Valmiki says that we are actually Satchit Ananda, but now we are claiming somebody else's property to be ours. We are claiming the body, mind and intellect to be ours, right? I'm saying I'm the body. So he says that itself is papa. In Valmiki Ramayana, it is said that just to even say that I am the body, mind, intellect is papa, because you are actually in reality, you are that Satchitananda. Then if you go to Bhagavan Shankaracharya, he says that, oh, forgive me, I've done pap. Okay, you have done pap? Yes, because I have written this bhakti hymn, and in that bhakti, I've considered you as different from me. He's telling the Lord, please forgive my sin. I have sinned. So, what have you sinned? He says, I considered you separate from me and I wrote this hymn. That itself is pap. Now, here Bhagwan is not talking about people like Shankaracharya. He's actually talking about people like sage Valmiki has said. You know, those who are considering themselves to be the BMI. Because only because I consider myself to the body will I go after things for the body, for the mind, for the intellect. You understand? If I don't consider it, then I'm not going to pamper the body that much. But I do pamper the body. Why? Because I think I'm the body. So that's what. So this type of people, he says, there are four different kinds in that he's giving four. So the first one he says is mudaha. Muda literally translated is a fool. Here muda means one who does not have the right understanding. Okay. So like sage Valmiki says, if you are Satchitananda and if you think you're the body, then your understanding is not correct. That means you fall under this mudaha. Okay. Now, one thing is not to have the correct understanding. So you have your wrong understanding and then you go on fighting for your wrong understanding. Means you're not even open to listen to anything else. You hold on to your own ideas and then you go on arguing and fighting. This is what even Arjun did in the first chapter. This whole argument he gave, how these people, these women will become widows and then there'll be these Varna Sankara, these, that, like the whole thing he gave, right? So that type of this thing. But with Arjun, of course, he was special. He later on surrendered. But in the beginning stages, he was in this mudaha only, where, you know, he had the wrong understanding and then he defended the wrong understanding. So there are two things. One is not having the correct understanding. But then you can say that, oh, I don't understand this correctly. What is the correct thing? But then you, not those people, but this mudha are the ones where they will defend their wrong understanding as well. So that is Mudha. That is one type of people. Then they will not surrender to the Lord. Okay. Then Naradhama. Naradhama word break is Nara Adhama. Nara means human and Adhama is the low kind, lowest kind. So what does it mean by a low kind of a human being? See, in the hierarchy of creation, the lowest is the mineral kingdom. Mineral kingdom is the inert objects. So, you know, stones and rocks and mountains and this and that and all. The inert, they say, who don't have a mind and nothing. They are only existing, basically. The next is plants. Plants are a little bit more evolved because they, for one thing, they have life. They have a subtle, you know, very rudimentary kind of a mind because we see the sunflower going towards the sun or the roots going towards the water. So very, very rudimentary mind. But they are also low and they're considered low in the evolution because they cannot protect themselves. See, that's why if we go to cut a tree, the tree doesn't run away. The tree doesn't understand that somebody has come to kill me. Tree is standing there only. Though it gives fruit, it gives shade. But if somebody plucks the fruit, it doesn't say, why are you plucking my fruit? You're not my owner. It doesn't say. So it's a. That's why it is lower in evolution. That is the reason. They cannot protect themselves, the plants. The next is animals, where animals can protect themselves. They protect their children, their babies, their, you know, puppies, everything the mother will protect. They have a mind. They know who their master is. They know when there is danger coming up. They know all that. So their mind is a bit, is much more developed than the plants. However, that mind is not as developed as the human mind because the human mind is capable of thinking beyond. So it has a subtle, humans have a subtle intellect as well. So we are capable of thinking beyond our body, mind and intellect. Whereas the animals, they will only think as programmed, and in that programming of thinking, they only do have four things that they basically live and do. The first thing is ahar. Ahar is food. They eat, and ahar also you can see, they see, but you know, they, it's not like our seeing where we get attached. Like if they look at a rainbow, they probably will see. Mind you, dogs don't even see color, but you know, they're not going to say, oh, what a beautiful rainbow. Not that sort of a thing. They do see, but so ahar mainly for them is food, eating, drinking, ahar. Then nidra, sleep. They all sleep. Whatever time it is, they sleep. Third is bhaya. They have fear. So that's why when they see anybody approaching with a stake or a stone, they will run. Or if that lion or tiger, they know they are hungry, the deer will start running. They can sense that, you know, now it is dangerous. So they will start running. So there is fear. And the fourth is maithuna. Maithuna is procreation. So these are the four things that the animals definitely do, all animals. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maithuna. These four things. Now, the highest of creation, that's why they say human is the, man is the highest of the creation. So one more difference between animal and human is animal is horizontal. So the brain and the heart, stomach and genitals are in one straight line, which means all four have the same importance. Whereas in a human being, our head comes first, heart, stomach, and then genitals. So the point is that we must conduct our life by the head, objectively, by what the intellect is telling us. And it should not be guided by the heart, which is emotions, or by the stomach. Point here is also that if the animals are doing only those four things, now we, even though we are considered highly more higher evolved than the animals, if we also do only those four things, which we all do, but if only those four we do, then we become very close to the animal life. And therefore we become Adhama. So this Nara Adhama means the lowest of the human being, means the one who is only eating, sleeping. All humans have fear. They have fear of death. They may have, they'll say, I'm fearless. They have fear of death. So there is no single human being in this world other than realized masters that they are different than. But the humans are fear. And then procreation. So if I just go on living my life like that, doing these four things without even trying to think, why am I born? What is this world made of? Is there any sense? I was looking for happiness, or but I still feel I'm incomplete. As if I don't get those type of questions in my head at certain stage in my life. You're not saying like right when you're born you get it, but as you grow older, either if you're fortunate enough you come in contact with a teacher, or sometimes even without a teacher people start thinking, what is this? And then they go in search of a teacher. So if those type of questions don't come into my mind, then I'm living like an animal only. No? They eat, I eat. They sleep, I sleep. They have fear, I have fear. They procreate, I do the same thing. Then what is the difference? So we have all these four, but it's only a part. It should be only a part of our life, not like eating. You know, eating for survival of the body is one thing, but eating just for the sake of eating. You know, fear. There are people who have fear of, good Lord, I mean, it's like I can't even, you know, like they just have fear of everything. What can I say? So that sort of life then becomes an animalistic life. So that is what is meant here by Naradhama. Nara Adhama, huh? Lowest this thing. So these people, they're so busy in all the only these four things that they don't even think of anything. Then what is there to think about the Lord or the Guru or anything? Then Mayaya Aparata Jnanaha. Jnanaha, knowledge. Mayaya, by the influence of Maya. Aparata. Aparata. See, now there is a word, those who know Hindi or Marathi, Apaharana. Apaharana word is there. Apaharana is what? Sita, Ravana, Apaharana, he did Apaharana to Sita. Means he kidnapped. So this Aparata means whose wisdom, Jnana, whose wisdom, knowledge is looted away by Maya. That is what is meant by Mayaya. Aparata jnanaha. So this wisdom is looted away by Maya. And how does Maya loot away the wisdom? Because we are essentially connecting with the three gunas, right? Because Maya is made up of the three gunas. So when we start connecting with this sattva rajas tamas, when we become a servant of sattva rajas tamas, so when we have to get up in the morning and tamas overpowers, I'm like, ah, no, let me still sleep. Then I am a servant of that and I am getting deluded by the gunas, and then those are the kind of people, Maya Aparata Jnanaha. So these people then also do not surrender to the Lord. Okay. And then Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. Ashrita means support. The one who is taking support of Asuri Bhava. Asura, there is Suras and Asuras. Asura means Asusu Ramante Iti Asuraha. That is the break of that word. Asusu means pranas, breath. So the ones who are reveling in the breath means what? Ones who are very much identified with the body. Pranas are with the body, right? So they revel in the pranas means they are very much attached to the body. So then what will they do? They will do everything for the body only. Whatever the body demands, they want to do because they are attached to the body. The perfect example of this Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha is Ravana. Ravana did all the wrong things. Okay. He prayed to the Lord, yeah, but then he asked for boons and he used that power to, capture the devatas, keep them imprisoned. Then he went and kidnapped somebody else's wife. Then he, you know, did all the wrong things. That is Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. And, you know, when a person is going to go do wrong things, at least I don't think he would say, oh Lord, I'm lighting a lamp. Please give me success in robbing the bank. If I'm planning to go rob the bank, do I light a lamp? Will I light a lamp? They're not going to say, because if the one who is surrendering to the Lord will not have thoughts like I'll go rob the bank. So when people are dushkritinaha, those who are the evildoers, they will never go to the Lord. Actually, even with Ravana, they just said, see, Ravana was a demon. So, you know, they could change how Marichi changed into a deer. They can change this thing. So when Sita was not succumbing to him, they have their advisors, right? So these advisors, they advised him, why don't you deceive her by taking the form of Sri Ram? Because you can change yourself. You're a demon. You can change. So the funny thing was, Ravana said, you know, I actually tried that. But the minute I took the form of Ram, then all the evil thoughts went away from my mind. I just got all these pure thoughts. So I cannot do that, he said. I cannot do that. So when he is in this body of Ravana, then he has all these bad thoughts. And when he tried, like, let me deceive her by like becoming Ram and showing up to her as Rama, he said, I cannot look at her. I cannot, because no evil thought comes to my mind. So these asuram, so mudaha, naradhamaha, mayaya aparatanyanaha, and asuras. So these are the four kinds of dushkritina, the evil doers who do not surrender to me. Okay? So the idea is they're so caught up in their own, muda is caught up in his wrong thinking. Naradhama is only doing the four things. He's not even going beyond that. How we will reach the Lord? Not rising only at all. Then those who are deluded by Maya, their intellect is so clouded, what they will see God, they don't. And Asuri Bhava, those who have these demonic qualities, they also never will see the Lord. Okay? So now Bhagwan's, then the question arises, my God, Bhagwan, are there any people who even surrender to you, or there's nobody? No. Just like there are four who don't surrender, there are four who do surrender. And that is the next verse. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukruti norjuna arto jidnya surarthi jnani cha bharatarshava. Four kinds of virtuous men worship me, O Arjuna, the dissatisfied, the seeker of systematized knowledge, the seeker of wealth and the wise, O best among the Bharatas. So Arjun and Bharatarshava, they're both really, addressing Arjun, best among the Bharatas. And Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam, if you look at the previous verse, Na mam prapadyante, and here bhajante mam. If you look at 15, there is a negative. Na mam prapadyante, they do not surrender to me. And here he says mam bhajante. So they do bhajan of me, means they surrender to me. Okay. Then there is dushkrutinaha, here there is sukrutino. Sukrutinaha, right? Su, I told you, su is good. That's why sukha, good space. Kham is space. Sukha is good space. Dukha, dukham, bad space. So that's why, you know, sometimes people, when they are stressed and all, they say, I'm not in a good space right now. It's a new term that I heard, you know. So they say, I'm in a very good space right now. That means what? Means I'm not stressed. That's what it is. So this, he says, Chaturvidha. There are four kinds of people who also do bhajan of me. This bhajante maam, bhaja, bhaj dhatu, it has got three meanings. So one is bhajante at the level of the body means service, physical service. Okay, so you're doing seva to the Lord or to the Guru. One is at the level of the speech and mind, which is then when it comes to bhajan, so you're singing the glories of the Lord. So actually singing bhajan, kirtan also falls under this. But bhajante means you are singing glories of the Lord, and it doesn't have to be singing. You can tell stories. Stories of the Lord. It means you're thinking of the Lord. Now, when you're speaking, then you're thinking also. That is one thing. And then at the intellectual level, you want to know about the Lord. So that also becomes a service. Like, I want to know you at the intellectual level. So that these three levels, this bhajante can be done. Okay, bhajdhatu, coming from bhajdhatu. So what are the four kinds? Artha. Artha example is Draupadi. Artha is one, you know, who is in distress. That is artha. The meaning of artha is in distress. And then in distress, see, people are in distress. There are still two paths. There is a Godward path, and then there is a dogward path. So those who are stressed, they go into drinking and drugs and alcohol and all that also. You can do that. People can do that. Or then, you're stressed, you surrender to the Lord. So you have two paths, your dog world or God world. So here Bhagwan is talking about the people who are God world, because in stress, they surrendered to the Lord. So if you take the example of Draupadi, in the beginning, she surrendered to all the people, and then she tried to hold the sari herself. And then finally, she gave up both her hands. She just put them out like that. And she said, okay, now Krishna, there's nothing I can do. Now you better come. And he came. So that is the example of an artha bhakta. He's a bhakta only. Why? Because he or she turned to the Lord. Gajendra is another example. The elephant Gajendra, with the story from Bhagavad Puran, those of you who have not heard, he was swimming in the river, taking a bath, and the crocodile came and caught him. And then Hari, you know, with distress, in pain, he called. Then Bhagwan Vishnu came on his Garuda and killed the crocodile. Because once crocodile catches you, either you die or the crocodile dies. There's no other way. There's no middle way. There's one. So then when Gajendra screamed, Hari, come and save me, come in. That is Artha Bhakta. So when the people are in stress, understand, not that everybody in stress will go to God, but those who go to him in stress, he says, they are my devotees. Because they came to me. Doesn't matter. They're stressed. People have stress. Doesn't matter. But they came to me. They surrendered to me. The next one is Jidnyasu. Jidnyasu example is Nachiketas from Kathopinishad. I know in this class we have not done Kathopinishad, but someday we will. So this Jidnyasu is one who wants to know about the Lord. Okay. So Nachiketas was one of those. Nachiketas was a small boy of 8, as the story goes in Kathopinishad. And he goes to the house of Lord Yama. How he goes, question should not be asked. He just goes there because nobody knows the answer how he went, but he went there. That is what the Upanishad says. And then he asks Yamraj, what is beyond death? And then Yamraj tries to, you know, like distract him by saying, I'll give you this and that and et cetera, and then he says, no, I don't want all this. I want to know the truth. So that is the example of a Jidnyasu. So of course he's a Bhakta because he wants to know about the Lord. So obviously he's a Bhakta. Okay, so that's Jidnyasu. Then there are Artharthi. Artharthi, Artha means wealth. They want wealth. Okay. Again, the same thing applies. See, I suppose I want wealth. Again, I have two paths. I can think, okay, how do I rob the bank? How do I steal from somebody? How do I lie? How do I cheat? How can I, you know, this thing, you know, cheat the government of income tax? I can say all that, or I can surrender to the Lord and say, oh Lord, please, I need money or whatever, wealth, please give it to me. So this Artharthi is the one who is turning Godward, and therefore Bhagwan is so compassionate. He said, doesn't matter, whatever, at least he has come to me. God is very happy. Like, doesn't matter, he has desires, he wants money, doesn't matter, he came to me. No, I'm very happy. So this is the meaning of this Artharthi. And the final one is Jnani Bhakta. He says, see, this Jnani Bhakta is very important here, because Jnani is the one here who has actually recognized his self to be the Supreme Consciousness. Okay, so he has recognized his oneness with the Lord. Jnani in the highest sense is a Bhakta, and Bhakta in the highest sense is a Jnani. Jnani, Jnana Marga and Bhakti Marga, in the beginning stages, we think they are different. And they really appear different. Because Bhakta is the one who has a deity in front of him, who maintains that duality and goes on singing bhajans to the Lord, etc. Whereas the Jnani goes on trying to look at his own substratum within himself. There is nothing outside for a Jnani. He's always trying, who am I? All these kinds of questions. He's not saying, this deity and I'll pray. No. Who am I? Who am I? Who is the one that is thinking like this? Who is the one that is illumining all the ego? All those type of questions, the Jnani thinks. But when the Jnani realizes his own self, he has nothing but devotion for the Lord. For his own self, which is nothing but the Lord. Because he has now come to recognize that his own self, that I that he thought was him, is actually none other than the Lord himself. And in the case of bhakti, what happens is, when the bhakta goes on praying to the Lord, he comes to a stage where he only eats, thinks, drinks the Lord only. He cannot think anything else other than the Lord. So he merges with the Lord at that point. Because wherever he looks, he sees Bhagwan. See, when we read the lives of saints, that is one of the reasons that even as a Vedantic seekers, we should read lives of saints. How they, you know, saints means this bhakti mar. So Sant Tukaram, if you see, there are so many Marathi. In Marathi, there are Maharashtra, there are many saints. Sant Nyaneshwar, Tulsidasji is saint. Mirabai, Hanumanji, Kabir Dasji, like Hanumanji is okay. But Mirabai and Kabir Dasji, they are from like closer to us. So when you look at Meera's life, she once she thought that this was her husband, she never thought of anything else. She only the husband, my husband, my, you know, that was it, right? So at the final stages, they only become Krishna Maya, like her whole mind, or Hanumanji is Rama Maya, like all he can see is Ram. Tulsidasji, all he could see was Ram, all he could see. So everywhere they look, it is that deity only. So then they merge with the deity. That way they merge. So they become jnanis. And jnanis become bhaktas. So in the higher stages, jnana and bhakti, there is no difference. So this jnani, that's why he calls him a jnani bhakta. These are the bhaktas. Bhajante he used, right? The word he used, chaturvida bhajante mam. So they are my devotees. Arth also is my devotee. Because he's in distress, he has come to me, he becomes my devotee. Jidnyasu, he wants to know about me. He doesn't know, but he wants to know. It's okay. Doesn't matter. He has come to me. Material gains, wealth. Okay. No problem. He has come to me. He did not go in the wrong way. He could have, but he didn't. And Jnani knows that he and I are one. So he's also my bhakta. Now, if you compare these two, see, Mudaha goes with Artha. So on the one side, there are the foolish people who have that wrong understanding. And so because of that wrong understanding, even though they are in distress, they will never turn to the Lord. Because the understanding is not correct. If they are the kind of people who, if they succeed by some fluke, they will say, I did it. Where is the Lord in there? I studied for the exam and I came first. So what is Lord got to do with it? That is how they say. There are people who, even today, there are people who say, what has the Lord got to do with that? I worked hard and I got a bonus. I worked hard, I got promoted. I worked hard, I passed the exam. I came first. I achieved whatever in my life was because of my hard work. So they do not bring the Lord in that. Artha in distress, completely turning towards the Lord. So Mudha and Artha, they're the opposite. They're the pair. Naradhamaha is the lowest. I told you, he's the lowest. He's living an animalistic life. He never has these thoughts of beyond his body. He never has a thought. Whereas a Jidnyasu is now thinking beyond the box, saying there is something beyond the body, mind, and intellect, which is enlivening this. So he's trying to pull himself up. So Naradhama and Jidnyasu, they are a pair. On one side, the human who is the lowest of the low, and he's doing only things that animals do. And on one side, there's Jidnyasu. He is doing the four. Of course, he's also eating and all. But he wants to know something higher. So that's why they go together. Mayaya aparada. Those people whose wisdom has been taken away by Maya, looted away by Maya. These people, Artharthi, they want wealth, but they know that through God, I should get it. So I should get it by good means. Not by any means, and not getting attached to anything. So these two, they become a pair. And then Asuri Prakriti, Asuri, I told you, those who are only reveling in the pranas, only body identification, whereas the Jnani has now gone beyond the body identification and he has become one with the Lord. Okay, so this is how these two verses, they're like a pair. They go together. So therefore, that's why I said there's Dushkritina, here Sukritina. There is Namam Prapadyante, here there is Bhajante Mam. And there are four types of people, and here again there are four types of people. Okay? All right. Now he says, out of the four types, you've given four bad and four good. Of course, bad, so we don't talk about the good, which is the best. Now Bhagwan says, Tesham jnani nitya yuktaha eka bhaktir vishishyate priyo hi jnani nortyartham aham sacha mama priyaha. Of them, means Tesham is referring to the previous verse, of those four, the wise, ever steadfast and devoted to the one. So the wise here is referring to the jnani over there, the fourth kind. Excels, for I am exceedingly dear to the wise and he is dear to me. So this is what now among the four, Bhagwan is now making a distinction. And after that, he will explain, is he being partial? That also he will explain. But for now, let us see. So Tesham, of them, referring to the four people that he mentioned in the previous verse, which was 15, verse 15. The wise, referring to Jnani, Nitya Yukta and Eka Bhakti Hi. This Nitya Yukta and Eka Bhakti Hi are adjectives to the word Jnani. They're describing Jnani. What does Nitya Yukta? Yukta coming from Yuj Dhatu to join. So he is joined to the Nitya. Nitya is permanent. Question is, what is permanent? There is only one permanent thing in this entire world. And what is that? The Lord, right? You cannot be a Nitya Yukta if you are joined to something which is impermanent. So anything in this world that you are attached to, attracted to, you cannot fall under the category of Nitya Yukta. How can you be joined Nitya eternally to some object which itself has got no eternality? You can't. You can't be permanently attached to something which is totally impermanent. You can't. So this Nitya Yukta means Nitya Vastu, which is only the Lord. So he is constantly joined with me. And Eka Bhakti Hi, Eka Bhakti, single pointed. Bhakti is single pointed. See, because the Lord is only one. Even in chapter 2, Bhagwan had said this. The one who goes outward, you know, extroverted the mind. See, in the external world, there are many, many, many paths. You just take subjects. You know how many subjects. Now, so there are even more than what they were in my childhood. Like even an engineer, they're only like chemical and electrical and mechanical, some 2, 3, 4. Now there is like software engineer, this engineer, that engineer, this, so much. So there also Bhagwan said, if you go outward, there is no limit and you can never, no single human being can ever master all the knowledges that are in the external world. It's impossible. The lifetime will not be enough. How many PhDs are you going to get? You can't. Maybe one at the most, which means you're ignorant of so many other things. But there Bhagwan says, if you follow Karma Yoga, if you go inside, there is only one path. And then that becomes easy to follow. So here, Eka Bhakti means only single pointed devotion to the Lord. Because Lord is only one. You cannot have Eka Bhakti towards anything external. Anything in the world cannot, you cannot have Eka Bhakti because there are so many things. So therefore this Jnani, he says, is constantly attached to me. Yukta, he's joined with me. Anything associated with the world, which will only fall under the three states of waking, dream and deep sleep. Right? Anything which is associated, either you dreaming or you're in the waking world or you're in deep sleep. All these are anitya. Why? Because the other two are negating the first one. Waking is getting negated in deep sleep. Deep sleep is getting negated in waking. So they're mutually contradicting each other. They're negating each other. So there cannot be Nitya Yuktata with any one of these three states. You cannot. So Nitya Yukta is only with the Lord. Eka Bhakti also is only with the Lord because there is only one Lord. There cannot be Eka Bhakti in the external world. So he says, Vishishate, this is their specialty. The Jnanis are very special. Because they are Nityuktanik. Priyo hi Jnani Nyurth Aham. They are very dear to me and I am dear to them and they are dear to me. Now, in life, we have discussed this in Tattva Bodh, you know. What is the most dear to me? Me, myself. There is nothing. You know, we can say my child is very dear to me, my husband, my house, my this, my that. But finally, everything that we do in externally, ultimately, if you really think, really, really analyze your thoughts, you will know that you're doing it for your own self. Because there is nothing which is more dearer to any one of us than our own self. Okay. Now, this Jnani has recognized, I told you in the previous verse also that it's the Jnani is the one who has recognized his oneness with the Lord. So he has recognized his self to be one with the Lord. There is nothing more dearer to us than the self. So for him, there is nothing more dearer than the Lord. Do you get it? This is how this is to be understood. Why? Because you see, on the surface of it, people say Lord is very partial then. So what? He doesn't like the other three. He likes only this Jnani. It's not that he likes the Jnani, but the Jnani has recognized his oneness with the Lord. So, and the self is the most dear to us. See, even Artha and Artharthi and Jidnyasu, why are they turning towards the Lord? I'm in distress. So please, Lord, help me. Even Lord is so compassionate. He says, doesn't matter. But what is the Artha Bhakti? I am in distress, right? Save me, because I love myself the most. Now this crocodile is going to eat me. Now please save me. Or these people are going to derobe me. Now you please save me. So the I is always there. The self is there, right? And it's that small I. So they're doing it for themselves because that is most dear to them. Whereas for the Jnani, knowing that self is nothing but the Lord, the self is dear to him. Automatically, the Lord is very, very dear to him. So obviously, if Lord and him are one, then for the Lord also, bhakti, for the Lord also, self is most important. Now that self is that Jnani. So of course, there will be mutual love. You get it? Okay, understand? Any difficulty? That is why he's saying, we must not think that the Lord is partial. We must not think like that, okay? That's why he says in chapter 9, it will come, Nirdosham hi samam Brahma, he says. Bhagavan says, is Nirdosh, Brahma is Nirdosh, and samam, equanimous. He is equal to all of us. We think, you know, God is very, he gave him wealth, he gave him this, that. It's not like that. Okay, so if we love God as being something other than us, then what can happen is that love can increase or decrease. See, even with our children, we get upset at our children. Why? Because then, you know, they behave not as per I wanted them to behave. Then I get upset, right? Because you see, myself is not happy. Because my son has not come first. My son has not, you know, not become a doctor. He chose something else. He chose some spouse who is, you know, I don't like that person. Now that child is, all kinds of things. So if you love God as somebody else, and that's what we do with the children, then the love cannot be unconditional. It becomes conditional love. That person is behaving like I want. I'll give you a classic example. This is, you know, Bal Thackeray. Of course, he's passed on now. I don't know if you've heard the name. He's a political leader from Maharashtra. So this Bal Thackeray was supposed to be a great bhakt of Ganesh Bhagwan. So his house was full of Ganpati pictures and idols and statues and blah, blah, blue, everything. And then his wife died one day. Jesus, everybody dies. In one day, all the pictures disappeared. He said, he got angry at God. How come my wife died? You're also going to die one day. What are you talking about? That is what happens. So that is not real devotion. He has not understood only what God is. You can't just in one day, just all the first you pull, you don't need that many pictures and idols of the Lord. If you're putting it, then in one day. So that is what this is. So the Jnani has recognized his oneness, so he can never hate. The love for ourselves is always unconditional. Think about it. We always will like it. It doesn't matter. Even if I do wrong, sometimes I say something wrong, sometimes I do something wrong, I get into accidents because I was unaware, but I never hate myself. I always love myself. Always. Never. That is because our love for ourselves, only that one love is very unconditional. Therefore, if you can recognize that ourself to be the Lord, you got it made. Otherwise, if it is you're loving the ego. As long as that recognition doesn't come, that means you're loving the ego. And then you're only fattening your own ego. Okay? All right. We'll read the next verse and then we will complete it next time. Udara sarva evaite jnani tvatmaiva mematam astita sahi yuktatma mamevanuttamam gatim. The question that is being asked here or is being answered here is, Bhagwan, out of the four, you said Jnani was your favorite. Then what about the other three? That is what is being asked. That is what is being answered, rather. Noble indeed are all these, but the wise man I deem as my very self, for steadfast in mind, he's established in me alone as the supreme goal. See this word, udaraha, udara word. So one thing is, dara means wife, udara. And udara, one meaning of udara is large-hearted. So it means. So this, among the four, so udaraha means among the four, those also are noble. So he's talking among the other three, Artharthi and Jidnyasu. So they are all noble only. Why? Because they came to me. No matter what their problem was, they had desires in their mind. Okay, that's fine. But to fulfill, they didn't go to wrong means. They came to me. Okay, but the jnani tvat maiva mematam, among them the jnani is very dear to me. See, what I'll give you a simple example. Asthita sai yuktatma mame va nuttamam gatim. If we have two children, you know, and one is very mature and one is not very mature, what we can do is we can rely on the mature kid. That, you know, he's mature enough. He can handle the key of the house. He will come. He will be responsible, you know, to look after his younger brother or something. So then what happens is we are not worried about that child. But if the child is younger, then we are more worried. It's, you know, the mother, if the child is 12, 13 years old, she can tell, okay, I've kept your food in the fridge and now you just come and warm it up and eat. That's okay. So she, what happens is the mother becomes independent of that child. Means she doesn't have to worry that much about that child. Whereas the other child who is younger, she can't do that. She doesn't trust him to take the food out of this thing. So she has to be there to do that food and everything for him. With the jnani, what Bhagavan is saying is, the jnani, because he has recognized himself to be one with me, he has no desires left of the world. I don't have to worry about fulfilling his desires. All right? And then, because the jnani has no desires, no other worries, he's free to do my work. Because, you see, suppose if somebody asks me for some help, okay, now I have my own stresses, I have my own worries, I am so very busy, how I can help somebody else? Unless I am stress-free, I can drive. You know, there are many people who can't drive. Now, suppose somebody needs a ride, they can't help. Can't help, right? You have to know. So the jnani, what Bhagwan is saying is, he's free to do my work. Okay, question is, Bhagwan, what is your work? What work do you want us to do? In chapter 18, it will come. There he says, whoever propagates this knowledge, that's why it said Bhagavad Gita, whoever, he'll say in chapter 18, he says that whoever will teach this knowledge will be, he will get great merits, because now my work that person is doing, teaching Bhagavad Gita, teaching this knowledge. So the jnani, being free of all these other worries, free of desires, is free to do the Lord's work. Whereas the other three, they are so much worried about their own desires, what work they'll do for the Lord. Artha is like, one is dying, one is getting derobed. What work they will do? And when there are so many desires in the mind, it's agitation. They may come to the Lord, but they have so many desires of their own, and the Lord is busy. It's like the mother is busy making the food for that baby, because that baby can't handle herself or himself. Whereas this older child, the mother can say, okay, you eat your food, now go get me something from outside or do some work of that mother that child can do. So what Bhagwan is saying here is that jnani is free to do my work, because my job is to propagate this knowledge. So I cannot do it alone. If there are more people like this, they will propagate that knowledge. Whereas the other three are busy in their own. Jidnyasu doesn't know much about me. He also has a desire only, na? Even the Jidnyasu has a desire. A different kind of a desire, but desire nevertheless. So when you have your own desires, what you will do my work? Not that they are not dear to me. Okay? They are noble because they have surrendered to me. But I have to do work for them. The jnani can do work for me, and therefore the jnani becomes very dear to me. Think about it. If I have a friend who is stronger than me, or who can drive me here and there, and who can give me advice and this and that, of course, otherwise, I have to only drive that other person. I only have to do everything for her. I only have to, then who will I like more? I don't hate them. Bhagwan doesn't say that. How can he hate anybody who surrenders to him? Bhagwan doesn't have any hate. But this is what he means. Asthita sahi yuktatma mame vam anuttamam gatim. So, and the thing is, the jnani is constantly abiding in me. He is with me. He doesn't have any other thought. The other people, they have thoughts of their own desires. Right? They are thinking, I have to get out of distress. I want to know about God. I want material wealth. And then they are praying to the Lord. Whereas the jnani doesn't have any all these things. He's only thinking of the Lord. And he's, okay, I have recognized my oneness with you. What do I do for you now? And that's why he is more dear to me. Okay, so we will stop here at this point. We'll talk a little bit more about it. And then we'll go on to 19 verse next time. Any questions?
Jayaji, I do not have a question, but I have a comment. The same, I remember asking this question to you when you came for a retreat. And at that time, I understood only up till you gave the same example of a mother having two children, and the mature child, the mother is able to let the child be on her own or on his own, whereas the mother will be spending more time with the smaller child. But now I think with this explanation that you gave me, it is now, which you gave now, it is more complete. It's making more complete meaning to me, because you talked about, you know, that the jnani can now take over the work of God, can do his work, whereas the others are busy in their own, solving their own problems and worries. So I just want to say that it's making very complete meaning to me. It's a lot
Thank
of meaning.
You. Thank you. Because I don't recall in what context I gave that example at that time. I obviously wasn't doing this chapter. So something else I must have said it. But that is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Frees up the Lord. See, the more with the jnani, he doesn't have to worry. The jnani is not asking for anything. He doesn't have to worry. There's the other three. That's why. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Then we shall meet next Monday. The Monday after that is a long weekend. I'm in town. I'm not going anywhere. So I will leave it up to you. You guys decide if you want. I see Abhimanyu is back from Florida, so you guys decide and let me know. But next Monday we are meeting and we'll continue with this chapter. Okay, all right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om. How was your trip, Abhimanyu? Good. Florida was your muted.